Blog Talk Radio.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power. There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, Seth.
Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Jesus the Only Way radio blog. My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise.
Amen.
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 Praise
Thank
God.
You,
Hallelujah.
So
Hallelujah.
Good.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today we have Brother Brian Posey, a man after God's heart and a mighty man of God. He is in the house today. He's going to give us a word. But before we get started, let's have whoever would like to open up stuff in prayer, go ahead. Deacon Chapman?
Okay. Father God is... We approach your heavenly throne, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. There is no name above his name. We thank you for this day, Father. We thank you for the vessel that you will use, Brother Posey, Father, to give you a theological explanation on the scripture that will be read later. Bless this radio station, Father. Bless the listeners. Bless their hearts. And we thank you, God, for all the blessings you bestowed upon us on the conception to this present moment, Father, which covers our whole life. We thank you graciously for your Son, Jesus, and indwelling Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Brother Brian, you can go ahead and start.
Can I get somebody to read Colossians 3:11?
All right. Reading from the King James Version, when Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 11, states, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, none, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. May the Lord have a blessing upon the reading of his word.
All right, thank you, thank you. I'm grateful to be here today. Yes, I want to talk about equality in Christ. You see, the reason why I chose that is because, you know, we got so much racism in this world, and one thing is about a flag, and one thing is about this, one thing is about that. But, you know, we got some people as Christians look down on other Christians and think they're second-class citizens or whatever, what have you. So, you know, like highly intelligent person, Wait a minute. Racism isn't new. It has existed since the beginning of time. The people in Jesus' day understood the pain of rejection and class distinction because of race. And yet Paul purposely used the word all in this description of the body of Christ. See, when Jesus is Lord of one person, he transcends the racial and cultural prejudice that separate us. See, we begin to see the difference in people, and sometimes, and some things beautiful, not something to fear. See, in short, we recognize each person as unique creation, deeply loved by God. See, and sometimes, you know, we get that label, we hear and see the label that separates us all the time. You know, that's everywhere. You know, you say you are Christian, but you hate me for the color of my skin, vice versa. You know, how are we going to be Christians and we hate one another? And Paul made a declaration, a radical declaration, that when we accept Christ as our salvation, faith alone do not justify. See, because one in the family of Christ, the circumcision and the other legal requirements no longer apply. See, Jesus fulfilled the requirement. Therefore, since God destroyed the barrier between us as Christians, he certainly expects us to do the same. So, you know, the significant byproduct of worshiping one true God is experiencing and seeing people as God see them. See, the ground level at the foot of the cross, and one day, people from every nation, language, tongue, and will encircle the throne and declare they all got to heaven the same way by the blood of Jesus. Now, that's equality. Now, sometimes I sit and, ooh, Lord, how much y'all got to excuse me for a second. Sister Faith, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm not feeling too well right now, but hey, let me try. Keep on trying.
Okay.
I can't go on.
Okay. It's okay, Brother Brian. I'm so sorry. And prayers going up for Brother Brian. He's not feeling well today. And we're going to have Deacon Chapman. Would you mind just praying for Brother Brian at this moment? Just pray for him.
Father God, we come to you with a petition, Father. First, thanking you. The petition, Father, that you will not only touch, but you can speak healing, Father. He can pray himself, Father, and touch his body and ask that you heal him, Father, according to your will. By your grace, Father, by your love, by your healing power, Father, we pray that you touch this vessel, Brother Brian, Father. Heal him, Father. Have him to be upstanding again. Strengthen him, Father. Give him the courage, Father, to move on. Touch, Father. Touch, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody that say, that's listening in unison, amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
So sorry that you couldn't continue that, Brother Brian. But things do happen in life and in times, you know. But we have to look at that scripture in depth, but go back to Ephesians 1:23, say, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills it all in all. Because the scripture that you were referring to, the Scythians, were barbarians, and they were very disliked by the Romans because Colossians is a part of the Roman Empire. And what we have to look at that, once you become the body of Christ, as the scripture said, there's Greek, no Jew, but a free man, but all one in Christ. And that one in Christ means that we all have accepted Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood, and that by his shed blood, we are sealed if we are baptized with water, as in John 4, when Nicodemus had a question, and Jesus explained it to him, you're being baptized with water, but also baptized with the Holy Spirit. That means you're sealed for eternal life. But sometimes, in the weakness of this flesh, well, as they say, Judaizers, false prophets, sorcerers, or people can come and bewitch you, because Paul talks about it in the book of Galatians, about being bewitched, because he said, oh, foolish gate, who have bewitched you, because basically he had taught them the truth. So when you learn the word of God and you can understand what he is purporting to us, and I give you a scripture in Ephesians 3 and 19, and to know the love of God, his knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. With all the fullness of God. You have to have Christ to get the fullness of God. When you have your heart, now you can operate in faith. And then also when you have love in your heart, you don't see skin color. You don't see different body shapes. You don't see different ways and acting. What you see is someone that's in Christ as you are yourself. Because mm-hmm. the body of Christ represents his living organism on earth. So there's no separation there. But there is a divided line in the body of Christ because of people's thoughts, their ways, and their actions. And I give you an example. Most churches that you walk through, or buildings that are set aside for worship, have a middle aisle. You have people set on the left, you have people set on the right. Some of them have two different aisles. They have the left, the middle, and then the right. And each one of those persons probably have been sitting there for 20, 25 years. And they probably have a pettiness about somebody sitting on the other side. But they have never come together and resolved those differences. But first of all, for them to resolve those differences, you have to go in prayer and pray God that they can approach this person in a mannerism that they can understand what's being said to them. Okay. Because we go back to the book of Psalms, there was holy worship and song. There was holy, but the songs came from the heart. And then in the New Testament, when they came on one accord, they shared things in common. Whatever God had placed upon their heart, they discussed it. They sung on it. But then a lot of times you got some fleshly person that comes in and would destroy what you have built up for 20 years in 20 minutes, because that is one of the adversaries that Satan sends into the body. But through prayer, praise and worship, you can overcome this battle. But the thing about it is we have to stop being so emotional about ourselves, about our wants and our needs, and look to Christ. Embed ourselves in this scripture. Have a daily prayer life. Have a daily scriptorial life. Become what I call a scriptologist. And what I mean by that, get in that scripture. There are some scriptures that you can memorize. And if you want to look in the book of Psalms, you can find something that will help you mentally, physically, lovingly, and there's some wellness. And that's what we in Christ, we're supposed to be well, not only in our heart, our mind, our body, and the way we treat people, because the golden rule says, treat others, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So if you're going to treat people bad, you got to accept how they treat you. But if you treat people good, and they still don't treat you good, you still got Christ as your comforter.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Then Christ is our, well, a lot of us will say, oh, Jesus is my Savior. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my counselor. He's my Prince of Peace. And you say that on Sunday morning or in Wednesday Bible class or whatever week you have. But then you live like a junkyard dog Monday through Saturday. And then you expect somebody to accept, but they, what you have to look at, sometimes we are the fifth gospel. And what I mean by that, you're under the microscope. you're under somebody, somebody's watching. Like I say, while you watching somebody, somebody watching you. And when the world hear you say you confess Christ, the world expects you to be an example. And God expects you to be an example, because when he see you, he wants to see Christ in you. So in our walk, our talk, in our mannerism, and how we deal with people. My grandfather used to say, you can pick your battles. You can walk away and fight another day. But a lot of times, the next day is as a common effect that will come in. And all that we have to realize in this Christian walk is that we have been paid for by blood, by shedded blood, bought by blood, and by the grace and the faith of God through his son. The question is, do you accept that? Do you believe that? Do you want that? Because if you say you're in the church, how about saying I'm in the body of Christ? Because we can all do church. And the building is just a physical building that's been set aside and prayed on to come together and assemble ourselves together, worship. And when we assemble ourselves together, the ecclesia with the call out at Mount Sinai, but then in the New Testament, the called out to assemble themselves in Christ. Christ is the main object of our worship, of our walk, our talk. And our churches, as we call them, should be built upon the foundation of the apostles. A lot of churches dwell in the Old Testament. Sunday, Bible study, this is good. I teach classes on the Old Testament. But the thing about it is that the church has to be operated. We have to have that walk based upon Scripture. So what I would say, go into the Bible, study it in depth, then look around you and see, is your church operating according to the body and the laws and the Scriptures of Christ? Anybody else have anything? I give the floor.
I have a question. I'm sorry for being late, everybody. This is Andrea. Got delayed just a little bit today. Deacon Chapman, you said something very interesting about the church and the responsibility, but number one, how do you identify a church that is not doing what was expected of them, and what should you do?
Go into
I'm not
the,
sure what the whole conversation was about, but that's all I caught was the end of it.
Well, it was Brother Brian had started up on Colossians 3:11.
Uh-huh.
He got a little ill, so I kind of stepped in front.
Okay.
But the thing, if you know the Bible, you have to know the Bible. You have to know what the ordinance of the articles of Christ said. In the first one, he said, I leave you a new scripture in the book of John. Love one another, I love you. If you go into visit another body, another congregation, you're supposed to see the Spirit of God on these people. That should be a compassion, a welcome, a love in there.
Yeah.
And then you got to look at what Christ has set aside for the ordinance in his church. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against. We always look at doors. There was a building being closed. But once you Christ in that church of the heart, where the Spirit dwells, you can't close that, because if you're baptized by the Holy Spirit, you are sealed for eternal life. So if you see going to church and they're not practicing what the Bible says, that is not a church of Christ.
Okay.
We have churches which think they pull names out the hat, New Harvest Temple, Grace Temple of God International. What is that? what is that? Oh, we got
thing about and those it. Churches don't they don't last very long.
Yeah, and here's the thing: you have to listen at the message and not the messenger. And if you how you know what the message is, confound with what Scripture purpose is based upon for us to learn. The thing about it, a lot of us are not biblically astute. We are biblically illiterate, and I'm not trying to say people are stupid, but when it comes down to the Word of God, you should know something about every 66 book of the Bible, something, not all. You should know what David meant by the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You should know what to say, thy word I hide in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You should know what 1 Corinthians 3:16, I am the temple of God, and know ye not that you the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwell therein. So is the Spirit in you. So that not only walk their walk, talk their talk, but be a living example by the instruction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God is the author. Jesus is the builder. and the guide in your body should be the Holy Spirit. The man or the woman is not the leader. Christ is the head of the church. He is an under shepherd, and he is supposed to be guided by Christ and the Spirit to be a vessel that he can teach you. He can translate to you things theologically that you don't quite understand. And if you still don't get it, I would say, let us go in prayer and pray for interpretation that God will reveal to us what he meant by certain scriptures. And we have italic in scriptures. We have
right.
And let me tell you something. There are some things I read over and over. I still ain't got it yet.
I had that problem last night.
I'm still trying. And my constant prayer to ask God, give me spiritual wisdom. Give me a revelation of what your word means to my life and the lives of those that have confessed. We will say Romans 10:9. Say if it's a condition word, if I confess the Lord and believe in my heart. Now, if it's a condition, then he say believe. And our problem is nobody believe. We all still have a Didymus mentality about our belief, like Thomas. That was his. They say he was a twin. And if you read in the last part of chapter 28 in Matthew, it says, some believe, but some still was in doubt. And that's today. Some people are still doubtful because they can't physically see something. As the Israelites, they couldn't physically see God. But think about it. Look at the powerful thing God did for them. He parted the Red Sea and they crossed on dry land. He made a dry road for them through the Red Sea.
There's
the River Jordan. He spread that and they had a road to walk over to the other side. But he told them to go and subdue the land. Now here is people. Now you got God Almighty telling you to be of courage. And you're talking about they look like giants. But God was the weapon. God was the shield. God was the overseer. He told them go. So the problem is, if God tell you something, do. Do what he said do. Just do. Believe. Yes. Have faith. And operate in grace. And grace is God's love. And I don't know why teachers and preachers don't break the word grace down. God's righteousness and riches at Christ's expense. Christ suffices to have grace and righteousness. Do we see that? Do we believe that? The cross should be the center of your life. Christ should be the core of your life. I'm not saying you got to put a cross around your neck or your bracelet or cross stuff, but be a living cross. And what I mean by that is show people that you have been sanctified.
Amen.
In this loving grace that God gave you unmerited. And thank God for his mercy, because I would say ask the question today. All the leaders, ministers, pastors, bishops, whatever title you have, if God held court on you today, would you be convicted or acquitted?
No.
Because you can't teach humanistic theology. You have to teach the theos, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you had a problem with separating the deity of God, look at Matthew. He said, go and baptize him in the name of the Father.
Amen.
Son and the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit,
So the D's separate each one, but they're still one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, the thing about it is that, like I go back to say, we are biblically inept. We go on these TV pimps, and I call them pimps because all they want is your money. Because one said the other day, if you send this offering, and for 121 days, I gave. So what do I do for the next $120? I got to feed my family. I got to buy gas for my car. God does not want you to lose the things that he has blessed you with. And if people would learn and go back in the Old Testament and learn what the tithe was, the tithe and the tenth are two different entities.
Amen.
God said in 2 Corinthians 9:6-7 that, and break it down, as a man, they say, as a man purpose, as a man proposes in his heart to give, let him not give ungrudgingly, unwilling, because God loves a cheerful giver. But here's the whole crust of the thing. Here's one scripture they overlook. If you just give me a moment, I'll give it to you. excuse me. these pages of pen in these new Bibles. I don't want to. And verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye also, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, and his righteousness remain forever. We pick up money, as Paul said, to store it up on the first day of the week in Romans 16. But the thing about it is that we do not do what the world, we're not doing things for the poor. We're not doing for the homeless, the sick, the widows, the children, the things.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth?
I'm going to just say, if you got 50 churches in the city, 50 different congregations of different denominations, which I can't find denomination of God, but in Corinthians, they said that some was a follower of Peter, Apollo, Paul, and Jesus. So that's the only differences I've seen, is you might say a denominational difference there. But anyway, but it was all contained to Christ. But the thing about it, they come together, each one of those 50, create an organization to help the hungry, help the needy, help the children, set up training systems, help and care facilities for the people. Now you're doing the work of Christ. Regardless of what you say, you're charismatic or you're independent, you're millennial, you're Mormon or whatever, if you're in Christ, you are a Christian. You're a citizen of the body of Christ. And Christ is not divided. That's why Paul gave the example of the body, the eye, the ear, the nose, the foot, the head, and the ear. You know, well, it takes all those energies for the body to be complete to work.
Mm-hmm.
See, so the thing about it is, are you truly in the body of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the body of Christ and you have love, now you got the character of God, because the character of God is love. So God is love. We have to love one another. We have to show love, mm-hmm. talk love, work love. Quit going on the premise, oh, that person don't like me. And I think a lot of people build walls just to see if somebody can tear it down with love.
Hmm.
That's just my, you know, my thought. But we got to learn how to cope with people. We got to learn the 10th commandments of controlling our mouth. And I have that written down, but maybe I could read another time. I don't think, they don't have enough time right now. Do you have Sister Paige?
Well, I wanted to see if anybody else has any more comments or questions in regard to what Brother Brian has spoke on. That was a good topic. And Deacon Chapman, you was on point.
Yes. Thank you.
Amen. I missed the beginning, so I had to bow to Deacon Chapman. And he was getting ready to look up a scripture. I was kind of interested in which scripture he was getting ready to share with us.
Oh, no, it wasn't a scripture. It was just a moment.
Uh-oh. I cannot find what I was looking
for.
Mm.
No,
Brother Brian, you want to...
It was not say a scripture, but it was a combination of things. It come out of the Bible, and I call it the Ten Commandments, how to get along with people. Keep skin
okay.
My tongue, make promises fairly, and keep them faithfully. Never let an opportunity pass to say a kind, encouraging word to somebody or about somebody. Be interested in others, their pursuits, their work, their homes, and families. Be cheerful. Don't burden or depress those around you. Keep an open mind. Discuss, but don't argue. Let your virtues you have in it speak for themselves. Be careful of another's feeling with humor, wit, another person's expense are rarely worth it and may hurt when least expected. Pay no attention to ill natured remarks about you. Don't be too anxious about the credit due you. Do your best and be patient. Forget about yourself and let others remember. Success is much sweeter than that. And a wise lady told me once, people don't really pay attention to how much you know or how scripturally astute you are. they pay attention to you when you show compassion and love.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Amen.
That's true.
Brother Brian, you have anything you want to add to it? I know that okay.
I just thank Brother Chapman for stepping in because that was a main concern for me. And I'm glad to hear it.
Amen. Amen. He got some thoughts on me, too. When I think about when I have those thoughts, when those thoughts come, when I'm kind of not really like judging a person, but looking at them in a different way as the way I might see it, that means my heart's not right. And I'm going to ask the Lord to look at my heart, you know, give me a clean heart, because I don't want those thoughts in my heart. I want my thoughts to be like God's thoughts and to love one another no matter what. Going on because there's something going on in me that needs to be cleaned up. So that's how I look at it. You know, God, show me the right way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just have to rebuke those thoughts in the name of Jesus because they're not of God. That's in the flesh and they got to go. So I thank you for the words that you gave today, Brother Brian, and also Deacon Chapman. And anyone else have any comments or questions?
Yes, I want to say one more thing, Deacon Chapman.
Yes.
I'm so appreciative for this, but you know, one time we had a Bible study and it was a homeless man come in, and he wanted. Mm-hmm. To sit in and Bible study. Instead of you helping mm-hmm. him, they judge him because he's homeless and the way he was looking. But they accept him in and let him sit down. He wind up teaching the class. Then turn around and ask him, can we pray for him? He said, no, I'm going to pray for y'all.
Mm. Amen.
And Lord
Amen.
Have mercy.
Well, I've said quite a few times that there are people out there in the street for whatever reason they are homeless. They got more biblical teaching than some of the average 30-year pew sitters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And going on what Sister Faith had said, and you know, in Peter, 1 Peter 4:17, he said, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begins at us, which the end will be of them that obey not the gospel of God. And now, just a quick story, I was told that a man came into a church, and he sat down to the front, and he took his shoes off. And sat down. I mean, he had no shoes and no jacket. And he sat down, if I'm telling it right. And he sat down up in the front where we have what we call the altar call. And people kind of were shutting him, but another member got up, went and took his jacket off and stuff, and his shoes off, and he sat by the homeless man while they prayed. So sometimes don't judge a person how they look or how they smell.
Mm-hmm.
Because the beauty, and the sweetness comes from inside of a person.
Amen.
Right, amen.
So, because
amen.
I lady one time that she was ugly, and this church had a few little problems here and there, she said, because ugly, and she felt people treated ugly. I said, but no, God created us all, and we all look differently so we can be identified. I said, but the sweetness and the beauty comes from inside of you, so what you need to do is always smile.
Mm-hmm.
And I started calling her Sister Love.
Amen.
Because, you know, James said you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he lift you up. But see, a lot of us lift ourselves up, and God will humble you in his time.
Amen.
Mm.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. God has called you. That the God of grace has called you into his eternal glory by Christ. And you do suffer, but it's only for a little while. Then he's going to make you perfect, and he's going to strengthen you that you can be, your heart can be settled.
Amen.
Sister Andrea, would you like to close in prayer?
I can do that, Sister Faith.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sorry I missed it again. I really was trying to get to the phone, you guys.
Okay.
You bow our heads, please.
Okay.
Gracious Heavenly Father, We thank you for this time this afternoon. We thank you for Brother Bryant, Father God, to come in and share with us, Father God, from Colossians 3:11. And we thank you that you did give him a message, Father God. Right now we just ask that you take away the pain that our brother is experiencing and the discomfort, Father God. You said where two or more gathered, there you are in the midst. And so we ask you right here and right now, Father God, to lift up our brother and to touch him in a healing way, Father God. Father God, we'd like to lift up Deacon Chapman, who always comes in and swing hits for us when we're not available to fulfill this 30 minutes for Sister Faith. And we'd like to lift up Sister Faith this afternoon as well, Father God. And Father God, just want to mention one thing with everything that's going on in the world. There's so much violence and so much anger. Every day we have to turn the TV on to see one more police officer shot or one more black man shot in the back. And Father God, we know that our days are numbered right now, and so does the enemy. And the enemy is coming out in full force against people, Father God. And we just ask you to keep us, Father God, and keep our eyes on you. We already know what our destination is, Father God, and help us to reach others that don't. In Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Amen.
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 Thank you, Sister
Andrea.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Well, we've come to the end of another radio blog. That was one awesome topic today. Thank you, Brother Brian. Thank you, Sister Chaplin. And thank you, Sister Andrea.
God bless you guys.
God bless you,
too. All right, everyone have a great evening. And God bless you all. May the peace of the Lord always be with you.
Amen. Go lay
Amen.
Down, Brother Brian.
All right.
Bye-bye,
everyone.
Thank
you.
Good night.
Mama.
Be blessed, Brother Brian.
All right.
Amen.
There is power.